Luke chapter 17, we'll start reading verse 11. Luke 17:11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down upon his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.
Say the Lord in prayer.
Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for being good to it, Lord. And I pray that you bless it. I pray that you'd open it up to us. And I pray that you give us things out of it, Lord, this morning that help us, Lord, to live for you and serve you. I pray, Father, that you'd bless each one that came here today. I pray that you'd give them something from thee, Lord, and edify us, Lord, and help us to stir us up, Lord, and want to serve you and want to live for you. And help us to live clean, holy lives, Lord, and put off the things of this world and sins in our lives, Lord, where we can serve thee better and be a faithful witness for thee. We thank you again for loving us enough to die for. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you for all you've done for us in Jesus' name.
Okay, this is an incident here in the Bible where Jesus was going through midst of Samaria and Galilee, and there's 10 lepers. He runs into 10 lepers, and of course leprosy in the Bible is, it's a type of sin. It's a horrible disease that is very contagious. And turn to Leviticus 13, which we'll look at a little bit, see what the Bible says. All through Leviticus and Deuteronomy, things that they're supposed to do about leprosy as it's going through there, and especially around Leviticus 13. 13's a bad number in the Bible, and leprosy is a type of sin. And you go through 13 here, and all of it's talking about leprosy. Look at verse 45. We'll start reading verse 44, talking about a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare. He shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. They were separated, see, from other people. What they had to do was, they usually in groups, all the leper had leper colonies, and they'd all had to stay together because they couldn't be close to anybody else because other people would catch the disease. And DeWitt Talmage tells a man with leprosy, and I'll just give you an example of what it does to you. As time goes on, it starts off with just little spots, you know, on your skin, but it goes on, gets worse and worse, and you get toward the last of it. It says the hollow of his foot swollen until it's flat on the ground. Feet just swell till it gets so that you can't even tell you got a foot there. The joints begin to fall away. In other words, they just disintegrate, I guess, on the joints in on your bones. The ankle thickens until your foot looks like a beast's foot, just sort of straight down, you know, like a cow or something. Says an unnatural stare is in his eye. The nostrils is constricted. They swell, you know, and close up where it's hard for him to breathe. His voice becomes hoarse. The starts affecting his vocal cords and all inside when he gets eat up. It's like a cancer. And sores all over his body. Big sores get all over, and running sores. Corruption runs from them. And that brings me to the first point, and that's the leper's condition. Back to Luke 17. And the leper's condition is like that verse in Leviticus where it said they had to cry, unclean, unclean. All right, that's what we are. As far as our righteousness is concerned or anything, and a lost person, as far as he's concerned, he's unclean. And like I said, it's a type of unsaved person, it's a type of sin. And first of all, mankind in general, all mankind is unclean because of Adam's sin. Job said, what is man that he should be clean? How much more abominable and filthy is man? Boy, I didn't preach nowhere, is it? Everybody thinks they, because they cleaned themselves up, you know, got on a new suit and tie and white shirt, you know, and shoes shined, the hair is combed just exactly right, you know, and style, most of them style just right nowadays, you know, they got just kind of come right through here, you know, with a little, like a woman's hair do, kind of style it just right, so they don't want to look like a man, they don't want to look like a woman either, so they're kind of in between, kind of it. I guess that's the way they want to be. Want to be its. But, anyway, that's the way people think they are. They think just because they can dress up the outside that they clean. But they're not. They're filthy and dirty. If you don't believe it, when a person dies, just let them lay around a little while and see what happens to them. Or just don't take a bath for about a day or two and see what happens. You will have to say unclean, unclean to everybody. Be stinking. All right. Look at Psalms chapter 14. And let's look at a picture of mankind. Get Isaiah 6 in the other hand. Psalm chapter 14 in one hand and Isaiah 6 in the other. I look at Psalm 14. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men and see if there were any that did understand and seek them. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Just like over in Romans 3. Turn to Romans 3, and that's a lot connected with that. I'll read it. Romans chapter 3. That, as it is written, quoting that verse about, there's none righteous, no, not one. And it says, there's none that understand, there's none that seek it after God. They're all gone out of the way, they're together, become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. You know what a sepulchre is? It's a grave. Their throat's like a grave. Corruption and going on in the grave. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. And it goes on and on and on. Picture of man. But number, verse 18 is the reason people don't get saved. That's the reason this country's in the shape it's in right now, because there is no fear of God before their eyes. People don't fear God. That's the reason they're in the country's in the shape it's in. All right, look at Isaiah chapter. Isaiah was a great prophet. Isaiah chapter 6. I mean, he was a prophet of God, great preacher, you know. I bet you 90% of the preachers in this town here wouldn't think that they're like this, but they are. I mean, they wasn't as good a fella, or lived as holy, or done as much for the Lord as Isaiah did. But see, they probably think they're not like, they don't think they're like this. Isaiah 6:5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You know what happens when the closer you get to the Lord, if you're trying to serve the Lord, and you get in the book and you start reading and studying the Bible, the closer you get to the Lord, the more filthy you see yourself. You know what these people, you know what, I talk to, I don't know how many people at work, and you know, and I say something about some sin, they'll say, well, you know, it ain't really that bad. You know why? Because they're so far away from the Lord, they don't see how filthy they are. The closer you get to the Lord, the worse off you're going to see yourself, because you're going to see all the little things inside you that's wrong, and how you failed him here and didn't do what you're supposed to do here and should have done this over here and you didn't do it. And God, after all God done for you, see. And the closer you get, the dirtier you're going to be. Now, if you don't get close to the Lord, then you'll think you're all right. That don't mean you're all right. You're still filthy, see, and dirty and rotten. And or be in hell. Every one of us. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. All our righteousness. The very best we can do for God is as filthy rags. You know what kind of rags that are? That is? But you know what I was talking about just a minute ago about those lepers? They had all them running sores on their hands and all over their arms and out of the body. They'd wrap them up with rags. And then they take them rags off, and that running sores, the corruption and stuff that comes out, that's the filthy rags it's talking about. In Isaiah 64:6. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's what God thinks of people's righteousness. That's what God thinks of people in their own righteousness, you know, trying to be good enough to be saved. In their sacraments, that's what God thinks about the Pope, and that's what God thinks about the baptism and living a good life and living a holy life. It's no good. It's filthy rags, as far as God's concerned. All right, that's his condition. The leper's condition. All right, look back at another thing about his condition. Back to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, verse 12. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They're far off. Persons, for saved person, turn to Ephesians 2:13. This is for a saved person that's far off from him. Saved people get far off from them just like lost people. They already far off. 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. When you're lost, you're far off. You get close to him, you're made nigh. That's how you get close to him, by the blood of Christ. You get far off from him, even though you're saved, you still get far off from him. But you can get right back. You can get cleansed. If we walk in the light, it's hidden light. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all. It's all in the blood, see? It comes right back to the blood. The blood gets you saved, and the blood will keep you pure and holy. If you walk in the light, you don't walk in the light, you're going to get dirtier and dirtier and dirtier and get far off. You get further and further away from the Lord. And then you have to start whipping you. Different ways. All right, for a lost person, look at Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59:2. For lost persons, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers have with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue have murdered muttered perverseness. That's a picture of a lost man right there. He's separated from God because God can't stand sin. He can't have fellowship with sin. The only way you can have fellowship with God is to be righteous. The only way a lost person be the righteous is to get the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Without that, he's without hope. No hope. And that's the next thing. The next condition is that they're without hope. They can't cure themselves. I mean, that's an incurable disease even today, leprosy. They can't cure it. They still have leper colonies in different parts of the world. Over in the other side of across the ocean over there, they have them. I don't know if they have any in the United States, but they have them in other places. It's incurable, like lost. Back to Ephesians, where we just were, Ephesians chapter 2. It says, 2:12 says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But then you made, verse 13, you made nigh by the blood of Christ if you get saved. So there's a way to get healed. If you're sick, there's a way to get healed through Jesus Christ, see? But you can't do it on your own. So this whole thing is a picture of salvation. Picture of a way to picture a sin and lost people and how to get back right. That's this whole story here. People have no hope. There's a S4 sub, which is a long several years ago. They got technology and everything now to help get things like that. This sub ran into another ship and it sunk down. And evidently nobody could get out, and there's no hope for them. And one of the divers went down. They heard somehow or another, they heard some pecking, you know, on the side of the sub, and tapping. And it was in Morse code. And this diver went down and stuck his helmet up to the side of the vessel, and they started tapping it out in Morse code. It said, "Is there any hope? Is there any hope?" That's what they want to know. As far as I know, everybody in there that died, you know, they's all just suffocated before they ran out of air. Though he was clicking that off. Is there any hope? I don't imagine that diver clicked back. I couldn't click back in. I said no, there's no hope. He had a little bit of hope as long as it's gone. That's where lost people are. They have no hope. No hope without God in this world. Filthy world. The next thing was their cry. And back to Luke 17. Luke 17:13. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, I want you to notice the first thing they've done, they called on the right one. They called on Jesus. They didn't call the Pope. Pope John Paul II or whatever he is, you know. He couldn't help them. I mean, he could put them in a religion and he could sprinkle them and he could give them the seven sacraments and they still die and go to hell. Wouldn't help him. Buddha couldn't help them. I mean, Buddha wasn't nothing but a fat idol sitting over there in India somewhere or wherever it is, over in China. Big old fat thing sitting up there, you know. People come up worshiping him. Buddha couldn't help nobody. Baal couldn't help him. Joe Smith, the Mormons, couldn't help him. Muhammad couldn't help him. Muhammad wasn't nothing but a second-rate camel driver, like old Jim White said. He was a second-rate camel driver, camel jockey. Confucius couldn't help him. They just want. Jesus said, John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Just one way. That's it. I mean, that's not my rules. That's God's rules, see? I don't care how good of people they are. I don't care what the world thinks about it. And they think everybody's all right. And I said this the other day, but it made me mad about that guy that got caught, that got caught by those Muslims over there, and then he escaped, and then he got back, and he said, "I beg you in the name of Allah and God that we serve to release the rest of those prisoners." That's, and said it was the same God. It's not the same God. Allah is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible says he that honors the Father, he that don't honor the Father, don't honor the Son. That's just one way. The God of the Catholics is not the God of the God of the Jews is not the God of the Bible. Neither one of them, see. It's a different God. They're preaching another gospel and they're receiving another spirit. That's just the way it is. All right, next thing, they called at the right time. I mean, they could have called and called and he wasn't there. It wasn't no good, see. They called at the right time. He walked that way. That's the reason a person thinks he's going to get saved. Well, I'm going to get saved, you know. I get saved whenever. I'm going to do what I want to do, and then I'm going to get right with the Lord right before I die. Nah. Person ain't going to get right with the Lord right before he dies. If he lived like hell all his life, he'll go to hell when he dies. But ain't but one person in the whole Bible that got saved on his deathbed, and that was a thief on the cross. One. And people think they can just live like hell all their life, and then they're going to get saved right at the last minute. Ain't going to work. Especially nowadays, they're full of dope and everything. They don't know what they're doing. All they worry about is the pain and everything they got to go through. And then whenever they get the dope, and then everything's all right, you know, they back in the fantasy land. So that takes all the pain away, so they don't think about it. They're not going to get saved. Very few that get saved at the last minute. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." If the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, if you're thinking about you need to get saved today, today's when you better do it. You might not be here tomorrow, or you might not never think about it again. Plains Baptist Challenge, that little paper that I get from Texas, it's got a little thing up there in the right-hand corner. It says, "Those who plan to repent at midnight die at the 11th hour." That's what usually happens. They die. The next thing, verse 14, in Luke 17, verse 14. And this is the cure. "And he saw them, and when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." Now, they went by faith. They could have sat down and argued among themselves if they knew the Bible. They could have said, well, over there in Mark 1:40 through 42, Jesus said, just put his touch to the leper and told him, be thou clean. Now, why did he do that to us, see? Why do we have to go to the priest, see? If they want to sit there and argue, they'd argue all day, and then it wouldn't have been cleansed. But they didn't. Every one of them, by faith, started toward to the priest. When they did, they got saved. I mean, they got cleansed, see? That's what happens to a lost person. He can stand there and talk about the things of the Bible, and talk about prophecy, and talk about how to get saved, and know exactly how to get saved, and what to do, and what to say, and exactly what to say all day long. But still, he does something, but what he knows up here, he'll never be, for the heart man believeth unto righteousness, he'll never get saved. So that's their cure. It's for by grace are you saved through faith. I mean, grace is unmerited favor. But you don't just stand there, you know, and that's all you hear now is grace. Grace, grace, you know, grace, which is what for the grace of God, nobody can be saved, but it's through faith, see? It's grace, but you without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to, by faith, accept what he did. He don't make you get saved through grace. That's hyper-Calvinism. That's what they say. You have to, God makes you get saved, you know, sometime or another. Whenever, some of you do and some of you don't. I mean, according to their doctrine, two of y'all could be saved, two of you couldn't. That's of the devil. Babies get some babies, like that Paul, according to their doctrine, some babies go to hell. If they die, you know, some of them go to hell. Some of them elected and some of them ain't. That's the devil's doctrine. Got nothing to do with the Bible. When a person by faith receives Jesus Christ, he gets saved right then. It says, by grace through faith, you by faith accept it, or you receive Jesus Christ. Now, it says, as they went, they were cleansed. All right, now, the thankful one. Look at the thankful one next. Verse 15 and 16. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. This man right here, this man seen as he was walking out through there, he saw that he was cleansed. He saw that he didn't need to go to another priest. He went to the great high priest and thanked him for what happened to him, see? He turned, that's what he did. He turned right, went to the great high priest, our high priest, the one sitting up in heaven now. And we ought to be thankful. He was humble, see? Bible said he that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. He worshipped him. He with a loud voice glorified God. There ain't nothing matter with shouting in church. People think, you know, some churches, if you say anything, amen or something, they look like you blasphemed or something. Nothing matter with it. This man with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet and giving him thanks. He thanked him for saving him. We ought to be really thankful for what the Lord's done for us. He worshipped him. In Luke 24, turn to Luke 24. 24 verse 51. 51, 52. This is after resurrection, see? It came to pass while he blessed them. He parted from them and carried up into heaven. Look here. And they worshipped him. And returned to Jerusalem with great joy. You ought to worship the one that saved you. When you get out of church, you ought to be good, joyful for worshiping Jesus Christ. If you aren't joyful about worshiping Jesus Christ, then you came for the wrong motive. Your motive for coming to church ought to be to worship Him. See, not just say, "Well, I'm obligated to go." No, that ain't it. You'll want to go to worship Jesus Christ. Because that's the purpose in our bylaws. The purpose of the whole thing is to worship around and worship and praise around the Savior. I thought I had a copy of it. I was going to read it, but I ain't got it. Worship and praise around the Savior. That's the way it ought to be. The purpose of establishing Bible Believers Baptist Church is to bring glory, honor, and praise to God the Father and His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessed Holy Spirit who seals us until the day of redemption. As a local independent Baptist church, we shall accomplish this by our gathering together as an assembly of Bible believers to preach, teach, sing, fellowship, and worship around the Savior and the Bible. That's the way that's the purpose for having a church here. To worship the Lord. So they all worship Him. It was told one time a boy came to worship at this place, and he told the minister, as he walked in the door there, he told the minister, he said, my six brothers stayed at home in bed, said, but so I was the only one that got up to come. The minister told him, said, It'd been better if you'd remained asleep yourself. If your worship is mixed with accusations against your brothers, which is good, it ought to be worship the Lord. Worship Him in spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Okay, let's bow our heads for prayer. I don't think I'm going to call anybody forward today. If you want to, come on. We're not going to have a regular invitation. I want you to bow our heads and pray just a minute. Think about this. We just like those lepers. We were lost. We're unclean, going to hell. You know the reason people had to go to hell? Because they had to be cleansed. You know what fire does? Fire cleanses. Fire is a cleansing agent, and that's the reason people are going to be in hell forever, because it's going to take forever to get them clean. To get out, they'll be dirty again. We won't, because we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, we can get out of fellowship, but if we do, the Bible says we are cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. That means confess and forsake your sins against God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Thank you, Father, for this message and the truth we can extract from it. I pray, Father, that you bless this message. And I pray, God, that you'd be with us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves as we really are, Lord, and see that we're nothing without thee. And you're the only one, Lord, that sustains us, and it's you keeping us going. And it's you, because we're saved and nothing good in ourselves, Lord. And we just thank you for all you've done for us, and for saving us, and for loving us enough to die for us. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. God cure our leprosy, and we ought to worship Him for it. Alright, let's turn to Psalms 100. Let's turn to a couple of Psalms here and read them. And then we want to sing a song. And this kind of a dismissal. Do something a little different today. Psalms 145. And 149. Read Psalms 145, verse 19 first. Psalms 145, 19. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh, see, bless His holy name forever and ever. Look here. Praise ye the Lord. Verse 400, Psalm 146:1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All the way through there. Praise ye the Lord. 147. For it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. Verse 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all ye angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all the stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens. See? The Lord wants you to praise Him. Praise the Lord. Always say, look at 149:6 now. This is, I like this verse. Let the high praises of God be in thy mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. And of course, this is our two-edged sword, the Bible, and we all be praising the Lord. Now, the dismissal song, let's sing 442. 442. And we'll sing this and you'll be dismissed. Let's all stand. Ready?
Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in heaven.
Strength and honor
give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children.
In His arms
He carries them all day long.
Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loveth Hosanna's ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.